It's On Second Thought. I'm Celeste Headlee. Georgia native and crime writer Karen Slaughter is the author of a number of international bestsellers. Her latest book is called Pretty Girls. It's about two women whose teenage sister vanished without a trace years before. And the paperback edition of the book came out last week. Karen Slaughter joins me now. It's a pleasure. Thank you.
Thank you.
This is a dark book.
Yes, but I think there's also some lightness to it as well.
So let's talk about where you find the lightness, and it's going to be very difficult because there's spoilers almost immediately in the book.
It's true.
Which I don't want to give any of them away, which kind of reduces us to what, the first...
2 pages?
Yeah. Exactly. But let's talk about where you find the lightness, which I'm assuming is in the relationship between these two girls and... I guess the finding of healing. Where did you find it?
Well, you know, I'm the youngest of three girls, and most of my stories when I was a little girl were about my sisters disappearing or being murdered or getting in trouble, and then my parents loved me the best, which, you know, probably they did love me best anyway. So it was just sort of me writing that relationship. And in the book, Julia, the oldest sister, when she's 19 years old, she's a college student at UGA, and she just disappears. They have no idea what happened to her. And I wanted to explore what would happen to a family broken apart by a crime like that. So this was kind of my way to exorcise those demons.
Did your family, your sisters, or your parents read those stories you wrote about your sisters disappearing?
They did. And actually, I think today I'd probably be put on Ritalin or something, but... Actually, my teachers were very supportive, and they focused me into creative writing and really nurtured that weirdness in me. My best advice came from my ninth grade teacher, though, because she said, you can't kill everyone in your stories. You have to have some balance.
Wait, you are trying to kill all the people.
Exactly.
You were a young George R. R. Martin.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. My whole Red Wedding was like my whole oeuvre before I hit the ninth grade. But, you know, I do think that was an important lesson for me. You do have to balance some of that darkness with lightness. And in Pretty Girls, I use that relationship between the two remaining sisters and the family. And, you know, I love reading thrillers. It's my passion. And I'm never interested in that unrelenting darkness. So I always think about one of my favorite short stories by a good Georgia native, Flannery O'Connor, where she's talking about a serial killer named the Misfit, and a good man is hard to find.
Good man is hard to find.
And I love that line where the serial killer says about the grandmother that she would have been a good woman if someone had killed her every single day of her life. You know, and that's the kind of, I think, Southern humor and lightness that balances out some of that more dark material.
Why do you like reading thrillers? You know, oftentimes I'll talk to authors who write a certain genre of book, but that's not what they read in their off time.
Gosh, you know, I've heard people do that, and I understand it on some level because I'm lucky that a lot of thriller writers are my friends, and I don't want to read their book and think, oh, you know, I hate this, or I know Lee Child, and so sometimes
wrote a great blurb for your
book.
Yeah,
he did, yeah. But sometimes I'll hear his voice instead of my voice for Jack Reacher, and I can understand that, but I mean... The thing that made me want to write thrillers and work on the puzzle of writing a mystery novel, I mean, the main thing that really put me on that road was reading Encyclopedia Brown or Nancy Drew or the Hardy Boys, or, you know, I did take a detour into V.C. Andrews and all that as a teenager.
Flowers like, in the Attic.
Exactly,
yeah.
Or Lace.
Yes.
But, you know, once I got past all that drivel, I was back into reading thrillers. Sarah Paretsky, Sue Grafton, you know, so these were the types of books that made me want to really be a writer.
What does it take to be a really good thriller writer? I mean, when you're reading somebody else's work, what books do you, what do you read that makes you throw the book down in disgust? And what do you read where you say, wow, this is good?
Well, you know, primarily, I'll start with the language in some of the, a friend of mine, Denise Mina, she's a Scottish crime writer. She's amazing. And the language in her books is so impeccable. I remember the last line I read of hers that just made me green with envy. She's talking about a character's watching the waves and describes the cresting waves like when you slice the top of a bag of sugar. And I mean, that was just so beautiful. And I hated her so much at that point, you know, it actually took me out of the book because I was like, I can't believe how great this is. So that's what excites me. What I hate is what everybody who reads thrillers hates is when it doesn't make sense, you know, or you think, you know, you're 10 pages away and you think, gosh, the writer just figured this out. And suddenly there's like a pubic hair that's found, and they pick it up and put it under a microscope, and someone says, he was a left-handed killer. He hated his mother, you know? And I hate that. I really, the only person I think that I can think of off the top of my head that can really do forensics well is Jeff Deaver. And that's because generally it's not the big solve is through a microscope, you know? So I like when the puzzle is there and it, and they play fair with me and I can figure it out along the way. And when I get to the end, it's like, aha, instead of what the heck.
If you're just joining us, I'm speaking with Karen Slaughter. She's an Atlanta native and an author of a number of bestsellers. Her latest is called Pretty Girls, and it's now out in paperback. I wonder if it ever gave you pause, because you're such a strong writer and the writing has such integrity just as writing, and you worried you would not get the respect that, say, if you were writing adult fiction, right, that people think about. The reason I ask this is because I think about Stephen King, who's a brilliant, just a writer. And if you were writing anything other than horror, he might be taken differently in a scholarly sense. Did you ever give that any thought?
The genre doesn't matter so much to me. I mean, I didn't go into the genre thinking, oh my God, that people aren't going to take me seriously. I kind of knew that as a thriller reader and as someone who studied Renaissance poetry in college, but still people couldn't believe if I had a Stephen King paperback, you know, so something must be wrong with me. I'm not a serious literature person. But, you know, honestly, I mean, he's a perfect example. His characters are amazing. I would hold up Dolores Claiborne to any character, Faulkner, Hemingway, any of those guys. I mean, just an amazing character. And not least of all, because it's somebody who's actually interested in writing about a well-developed woman. But for me, you know, I'm not really concerned so much with the genre. I do wish that thrillers were taken seriously, but we sell a heck of a lot. So it's kind of weird to complain that we're the best-selling genre, you know. And for me, I just think it's important to tell a story. And I would defy you to mention any book that has endured in the American canon that doesn't have some sort of crime or murder. I mean, Gone with the Wind, there is an extremely brutal and violent murder. You know, when we watch it in the South on at the Fox, everybody hisses when the Yankee comes up into Tara, and there's Scarlett there, and she has her gun, and he's going through her mom's sewing box, and she shoots him in the face. And in the book, the way she describes the hole in his face, the blood trickling across
gory.
The floor, and she actually says Scarlett wants to dance. She's barefoot. She wants to dance in his still warm blood. I mean, that's a thriller passage. So if that's a thriller, then I think I'm in good company.
But tell me a little bit about getting into the minds. I find it fascinating that people often ask crime writers, male crime writers, wow, you wrote a great female character. How did you get into the mind of the female? But they never ask females, wow, you wrote a great male character. How did you get into the mind of the male? But I find myself sometimes thinking, and not necessarily in this book, but in some of your other books, if there is anything that you do differently when you're writing a male character, because you do write them so well and so authentically.
Well, thank you. You know, I'll make a very blanket statement, because obviously this doesn't apply to men and women universally. But when I'm writing Will Trent, for instance, he's much more of a let's not talk about the problem, let's solve the problem, or pretend it's not even there. I think a lot of men have that in them, you know.
Problem solvers.
Right. They want to solve that problem. And what's the point of talking about it endlessly? And a lot of women feel like they need to talk it out. And I'm kind of a mixture of those two things, depending on the problem. That's why I'm saying it's a blanket statement. And I think Will is too. You know, sometimes he wants to talk it out more, and usually he's talking to Faith, his partner. And I think at work, it's easier for him to talk things out with Faith than it is at home to talk things out with Sarah. Because with Sarah, he's more like, you know, kind of afraid to talk about how he feels about something, because that might be a weakness and she might not be attracted to him anymore. And, you know, all that gets caught up in there. So yeah, those are the things I keep in mind. And I wrote a character, Jeffrey Tolliver, in my earlier books.
Sheriff.
And he was more of a touchy-feely kind of guy. But then I had him do things like beat up suspects and get in car accidents and shoot people, and to kind of balance it out to make him manly. So Will was a response to that, thinking, well, let me Let me do a different kind of guy character, because there are a lot of different guys out there.
There's also, I mean, when we're speaking about authenticity, there's also clearly a great deal of authenticity in the places of your books. These are areas that you know very, very well, not just for Will Trent, but Grant County, and then some of those that take place. This book, Pretty Girls, well, it kind of, they drive a lot of different places. They kind of span a certain area of the state. And I wonder, have you ever wanted to write about another location, or is there something about really, really knowing a place intimately that helps you as a writer?
Well, yeah, I think it does help to know. You know, if you look at Bradbury, when he's writing about Mars.
Ray Bradbury, a science fiction
writer. Ray Bradbury. He's really writing about his hometown, right? And I think that we...
And Stephen King writing about Maine.
Exactly, yeah. So I really, when I started out, I made a conscious choice to write about Atlanta. And so this was, well, when I wrote this book 18 years ago, so I was 12, basically. But it was a really kind of radical choice not to set it in Los Angeles or New York or some crimey place like that at the time. Nobody was really writing about Atlanta in a realistic criminal kind of way. So it was a choice on my part. And instead of writing about a big town, I wanted to write about a small town, because that's what I grew up in. I grew up in Jonesboro, Georgia, which is a lot like Grant County. You know, we had the junior college. That was our big claim to fame. And so I wanted to really kind of write what I know. But I think you should also write what you want to know. And I wanted to know more about crime. And, of course, I was in Jonesboro when the Atlanta child murders were going on. And so I remember very distinctively, you know, that time before the murders, before children were being targeted, before it was on the news all the time, before people were terrified. And then after, I wasn't allowed to go outside without my parents knowing where I was. And, you know, before that, literally, we would be locked out of the house in the summer because my mother couldn't stand us underfoot. And she's like, go outside and play. And if you get thirsty, there's the hose. And if you have to go to the bathroom, there's the woods. After that, I mean, our lives totally changed. It was just a really transformative time because of this crime occurring. And we know how far Jonesboro is from Atlanta, you know, especially then. I mean, 45 minutes was an eternity. Jonesboro was considered a very small town. But it did terrify us, and it changed how our community was. And so that's what I really wanted to write about. And so that's why I picked a small town.
Does crime still scare you? Do criminals still scare you?
Crime bothers me. Mass shootings bother me that generally, statistically, during these mass shootings, the first victim is a woman. It bothers me we don't talk about that. It bothers me we don't talk about the violence against women, that we'll talk about the 8% of cases where a woman falsely accuses someone of rape instead of the 92% where they don't. You know, that kind of thing bothers me, that we don't really look at crime for what it is and who it affects, that we don't look at the scourge of, you know, who we have imprisoned. Lives we've ruined with the industrial prison complex. That bothers me. I think if you worried about being a victim of crime, you'd never leave the house. So I try not to think about that. I try instead to think about we need to change things as opposed to taking a posture of we need to hide under the covers all the time.
Before we go, my last question for you would be the kind of crime that you're talking about, the crime that annoys you, is not the crime generally that would be a good thriller. Do you know what I mean? Like, you need a diabolical mind,
right?
That's the criminal's part in order to be a really good thriller. How is it even possible to turn that kind of crime into a good novel?
I think it is. You know, I mentioned Denise Mina. She's really good at talking about the crimes that are more realistic. I mean, let's face it. The crime I write about in Pretty Girls actually happens. It's based on something that was shared with me through a contact in law enforcement,
which is awful.
Which is awful. But Denise writes about and you know, Lisa Gardner does this sometimes too. Tess Gerritsen. Most criminals are really stupid, or they have made really bad choices, and they keep making bad choices after bad choice after bad choice, and they keep getting in trouble, and they keep digging and digging, trying to get out of that hole, and that's how they end up in trouble. And many of them, it's economic. You know, here in Georgia, we've privatized our parole system. So if you get out on parole and you can't afford to pay for this sudden drug testing that the parole company throws on you, even though it's not court mandated, you can end up back in jail. I mean, Georgia started out as a debtor's colony, and now we're going right back to imprisoning poor people like we're a debtor's colony again. So, you know, that kind of thing, while it's horrible, I couldn't really write a book about it. I have to pick the really big crimes, but I think there are ways and avenues within the story to mention this sort of thing. Because like in my next book, which is out in September called The Kept Woman, has Will Trent in it. I have Faith, his partner, has worked the Atlanta cheating scandal, right? The Atlanta Public Schools
American,
cheating scandal.
Yeah.
Yeah. And she's talking about this one school, and she mentions that if this had been, so this is like a 99.5% minority school, right? And she says, of course, if this had been a white school, the cheating never would have happened and no one would have paid attention. You know, it just would not be an issue. And that's the kind of thing I like to talk about in my books, is to slip in these little social issues that might make people think. But then I have to write a nice, juicy thriller for them to actually want to read the story.
And you do, I'm not going to say who, but one of the characters is on parole, so it kind of slips in there a little
yes.
bit. Karen Slaughter is an Atlanta crime author. Her new book, Pretty Girls, is now available in paperback. Such a pleasure. Thank you so much.
Thank you.